I am ready to give you the word. And if you're writing a title down, this will be easy. Mother. Write that down, and that would be basically what we're doing. We're celebrating Mother's Day. And, you know, we need to continue celebrating mothers, not, you know, just on Mother's Day, because I'm going to give you the word, and the word tells us that our mothers are very important. Very important. But you, did you know that the idea of Mother's Day was born in a small Methodist church in Virginia? No? And it was 1876, the nation still mourned of the Civil War because of that. And while they were teaching and Memorial Day, they were wanting to have a Memorial Day for mothers that lost their children in the Civil War. So that's the reason why it was a Mrs. Anna Reeves Jarvis thought of the mothers. Of the grieving mothers that had died. And, you know, in Virginia, that was kind of basically in the center of everything going on during the war. But, you know, it left a deep impression on her children, especially one of her 11 children. Hallelujah. But, the community was split because of the Civil War. But she was determined to see that her mama's vision for Mother's Day would come into action, you know, throughout the land. And, you know, and it, the community, you know, got together, and she pushed it in Washington with the legislatures and everyone else. And her dream finally had come true. May the 8th, 1914. President Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. So Mother's Day just didn't start last year or 10 years ago. It started in 1914 as President Wilson set it as a holiday for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is in the top five holidays celebrated now. Hallelujah. But it's important about honoring our mothers. You know, you may think you got by. I don't know about you, but, you know, my mom would say, don't do that. And then I would think she's not looking, and I would do it. She knew it. At that point, she knew that I was doing something she told me not to do. So we have to understand it. We need to honor our mothers. And, you know, and we have to understand, a Chinese proverb said this, a child without a mother is like a door without a knob. Think about that. But, you know, I want you to look in Exodus 20 and verse 12. It says, honor your father and mother. Then you will live a what? Long life. Full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honoring your mother brings benefits to your life. And I can tell you, Mama wasn't scared to use that belt. Yeah, and she was fast, too. I mean, I can tell you, she ran track when she was in school. And, you know, they still talked about her when she passed away. They talked about how fast she was, how they won all the track meets and all this kind of stuff. And I've seen her load a trailer full of hay by hand. They didn't have them automatic picker-uppers then. She loaded them on a trailer with a tractor pulling it. She was tough, and they had a dairy. And it was only, my grandfather had five daughters. And they were tough. You know, thank God, you know, she went on to college. She was the oldest, and she went to college, got her nursing degree. She became a registered nurse. And then the rest of them followed, or the school teachers, and every one of them did something. And I tell you, we only have a couple. Matter of fact, I had one that came and visited three, four months ago. She's 90-something years, 93 years old. She was the second daughter right behind my mother. She walks around their place like we went to San Francisco. She walked around like us. You know, she was 93 years old. Can you imagine? But she would get there. She ordered her own food. She looked at that. She went to the bathroom. She did. I said, man, we're all looking at, you know, how you look at somebody. I hope they don't fall. You know, I'm gonna be there. You know, but you see, we have to honor our mother. And Dara, her daughter, only child, it takes care of her. Matter of fact, Darren, her husband, he passed away, but they built a big home in West Texas in the hill country. I call it mountain country because hills are like here. That's the kind of mountainous over there. But I can tell you, she brought her mom there. And it's a humongous house. And it's just them two and their animals, their dogs. And you know, she's honoring her mother. And, you know, the blessings of God will follow you everywhere when you honor your mother. You know, you just don't know what my mother... don't say that. It says honor your mother, no matter what she's done. Honor your mother. It is good, and it will be with you to what? To be very... You'll be for the land. You can possess land. You can do... You're honoring your mother. And you're going to receive life. You understand what I'm saying? It's just not in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament teachings about honoring your mother. Why are you talking about the mother? Well, it's Mother's Day. And the Bible says to honor your mother. But, you know, it's just not an Old Testament. And it's in the New Testament also. Look in Ephesians 6:2. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and your mother. This is what? The first commandment with a promise. Hallelujah. It's the first commandment with a promise. A sign in the last days is in Matthew 24. And it talks about a rebellion and disobedience to your parents. You think about it, the mothers may be going through something with their children. They're not following what the Word of God is saying. They're not honoring their mother. And that's on them. You know, that's on them. Because they're not doing what God's told them to do. First commandment, honor your mother and father, right? So if they're not doing that, they've got to get themselves right, repent, and get right with God. Because if they're not doing that, they're not honoring God. You see what I'm saying? Mothers are very important. Look in 2 Timothy 3:2. 2 Timothy 3:2. And it tells us, for people who love only themselves and their money. You got that? For the people who love only themselves and their money, they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful, they will consider nothing sacred. Man, disobedience, it reaps terrible results. Terrible results. You know, it could make a house in chaos. Think about it. Look at Matthew 15:4. Praise the Lord. Matthew 15:4 says, for instance, God says, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectful of your father or mother must be put to death. And that's in the New Testament. That's not in the Old Testament. For instance, God said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of your father and your mother must be put to death. So in other words, this is serious. This is some serious business when children disrespect their mother and their father, especially their mother. Speaking of that, you know, God's will for children is to honor their mother. You know, love and care for their mother. Don't disrespect. Look, and as we said, look in Proverbs 23:22. It says, listen to your father who gave you life, okay? And don't disrespect your mother when she is old. I mean, I'm just giving you the word of God. And you know, and where are our children today? Where are thy children? And then, in other words, we can turn around. Where are the parents? Well, are the parents teaching our children? And you know, think about that. Are our parents showing them the way? Is our parents showing us the way to God? It goes both ways. But where are our children? Are they honoring our parents? I don't know about you, because probably most of you in here could know when your parents said to do something, you did it. Especially when your mom said to do it. Somebody said, would you, I hung out close. I couldn't hardly reach it. But so they made it lower, and they got a gum tree limb with a fork on the end of it, where you, after you put all the stuff, you stick it in the up like that on the wire and put it, I don't know. But I done that. And, you know, and I learned real quick. She'd say, go get the clothes and bring them in. Okay, what'd I do? I went out there, and I spread it out a while, you know, good ways out there, and I got the sheets, and I took all everything, underwear and everything, and threw them in the sheet. Ho, ho, ho. I've learned real quick. Mom says, don't do that. Don't do that. Now go out there and straighten all these clothes up. Oh, I got things to do. You know, I want to get on my horse. I want to ride in the back pasture. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to go down to my neighbor's house. We want to go out there and play cowboys and Indians. I want to, you know, understand. We want to do something. Don't do that. I didn't learn that. Mom said don't do it, and that was the last time I did it. Because all she had to do is look at you and say it, you know. Or I'll take that back. I did do it one time. You know, when she was working at the hospital, I said, well, she's not here. She'll never know. That was a lie. That was a lie. She knew how those clothes got into that house. She knew that it wasn't right. Hallelujah. But Jesus is our perfect example towards our mother. You know, if you got a relationship with Jesus, you know how to treat your mother. I mean, I've heard kids back talk their moms. I said, oh, no, don't do that. And then I find out that they're not following the scriptures. But I tell you what, my mom, she followed the scriptures. She laid hands on me when I disrespected her. You know, you see what I'm saying? She would lay hands on me. And if it wasn't, you know, it wasn't ever in the face, on top of the head. It was always on the bottom. So, you know, she knew exactly where to make contact. And I changed. My life changed after she laid hands on me. So that's scripture, you know. But you got to obey your parents, your mom. Let's look in John 19, verse 26. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 19, verse 26, and it says, when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciples he loved, right? He said to her, dear woman, here's your son. Verse 27, and he says, and he said to the disciples, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Praise the Lord. Jesus cared and provided for his earthly mother, right? I mean, he did. He cared for her, even on the cross. You know, mothers should love and care and pray for their children. That's a good one. We say, well, I just don't know what's going on with these kids nowadays. Is the mother praying for them? Is the mother showing them about the Word of God? Yeah. I can tell you right now, it starts in the home. It starts right there in the home. If they can't get it right in the home, you know, they bring it into the church, inspect the church to bring up the child as it should go. No, it says in the Word that the parents should bring up a child as they should go. You understand what I'm saying? It's up to the parent to do that. The mother should love, care, and pray for their children. There should be a time of praying for your children. I can remember when I was little, we didn't go to bed till we got our prayer in with our mom or dad, either one. If she was working a 3-11 shift, and he would pray. So you understand, it's a dual thing here with the mom and the dad. And the mom doesn't do it, the dad should be right there to do it. But no, I can tell you where they're at. I can tell you that's where they're at. And your child over here needing spiritual feeding. Your child needs spiritual upbringing. Don't blame it on the world. Look in your own house. As I said over at the Karen Crow prayer thing we had, the day of prayer, quit complaining. Start praying. You understand what I'm saying? The world is like it is right now because of the parents not raising up the children. And you know, especially being a teacher, you know how students act. Sure, maybe I got it corrected when I was in school, but I acted goofy. Somebody said, let's go on over here to the snack shack. You know, you sneak off to the snack shack and somebody is going to catch you. You know, you can't hide anything from your parents. You may think you have, but they'll come back at you and say, now what were you doing over there? What's going on? But you know, we have to understand, it takes a praying family to change this world. And you say, well, mine are already grown. But you can start now. Showing the light of Jesus, even if there are 25, 35, 45, 55, 60 years old. Yep, it don't matter. You can still pray for them. And they should honor you as a mother. Hallelujah. You know, mothers should do their very best, what? For their children. But, you know, you say, well, you just told me that they need to care and pray for their children. Well, yeah, you care, but they take care of their children better than a father. Matthew 20 and verse 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. Hallelujah. We'll start with that 20, verse 20. It says, then the mother of James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully and asked a favor. Jesus, come here, Jesus. Now, mom, now, let's go to verse 21. What is your request? Jesus asking her, what is your request? She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on the right and one on the left. Come here, Jesus. I got a request. What's your request? Can my son, one of them sit on the right, one of them sit on the left? To Jesus. So moms want to take care of their kids. You see, even that mom right there, the mother of Zebedee, wanted to do something, her kids to be right up there with Jesus. Hallelujah. But you know, we have to also understand that mothers have to do most everything. Think about that. Most everything. And you know, Proverbs 31 tells us of a good Bible example of a mother and a wife. Proverbs 31. So if you had never read it, read it. It's good for you. Praise the Lord. But mothers, I think I said this one last week, one time, talked about the little boy. Remember I told you mom wasn't feeling good? The little boy was looking for his mom. He went up to the bedroom. She was in the bed, not feeling good. Bunch of Kleenex all by her nose and, oh, just not feeling good. And, you know, the little boy went to his mom and said, Mom, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. But I'm just a little under the weather right now. I just need to rest. She said, okay, how about I carry you to the kitchen so that you can make me a breakfast? You understand? Now, the mother probably got up and went down and cooked him a breakfast, even not feeling good. I don't know about your mom, but mine did. Mine did everything you can imagine. I can remember one time she was fixing to go to work, her 2 to 10 shift at the hospital. Lived out in the country on 67 acres, right in the middle of it, so nobody knew. She was taking a bath one day, getting ready to go. She heard a sound. She looked out the window, and it was a wild turkey. She threw on her bathrobe, went out there, and shot that turkey. We had turkey for Thanksgiving. You see, I mean, she went out there and did it. Brought it back in, started cleaning it up, and then our babysitter came in, and she told her to just continue working on that, get them feathers off of that turkey, and we're going to cook it up. Then she went to work. To get out of the bathtub, throw a robe on, and go out there and shoot a turkey, a wild turkey, and bring it back. It was on our place. I mean, she just heard it. Say, from here to the road, she heard a turkey. She went out there and shot it, put it, and we had a turkey. But, you know, I want you to think about this now. What rules the world? What rules? What rules it? What makes it tick? And it says, they say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter over lesser powers than he. But mightier power and stronger, man from his throne has hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. You could have muscles, you could have big brains, you could have whatever, the biggest sword, the biggest guns, and do this and do that and be the highest engineer, whatever it is. But I can tell you right now, the one who rocks the cradle is the ruler of the world. Because of what a mom is putting into their children. The mom, and the dad is to reinforce it. And we need to pray because the world is not there. It's left for some reason or another. They're following other things. Too many distractions in this world. Too many things go on in the world that take people away from church. Be a good time to read it to you. And it states this: Sundays used to be sacred, but now it's soccer, sleep, and seafood balls. We're raising a generation that knows how to clock in on Monday, but doesn't know how to bow down on Sunday. We pack stadiums, fill brunch spots, and chase self-care. Then wonder why our souls stay empty and our houses stay in chaos. And it goes on from there. Let's be clear. God isn't mad you went to the beach. He's grieved you stopped coming to the altar. You've replaced sanctuary with scenery. The problem, the beach can't bless you. The grill can't heal you. And no vacation can restore what only worship can. Too many outside influences that are taking people away from the natural things that God has put into His Word that we need to be doing. And for the children, it's not a hoping that you can do this. No. It's a commandment to what? To honor your mother and father. And it's a commandment. And that's why we have our children in here today, so that they can hear the God's word. And I pray that they change and come to their senses and understand. It's not about where you go to church. It's not about a religion. It's not about anything like that. It's about worshiping God. The God I know loves His people. And God doesn't want to see anyone go to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this today? Yeah.